Thank you, Leah. That's what we Christians need to do loud and clear, is choose sides. I think, I didn't know what she was going to sing, but I think it'd go along with the text the Lord laid on my heart today. I want you to go to Luke chapter 23. I want to say I appreciate the young men handling the song service for us this morning. They've done a good job. Appreciate Nathan with the choir and Colin with the congregational singing. I think Brother Cruz would be proud of him. We can tell him, you can tell him we missed him. It took two men to take his place. Amen. He does try to train and teach music in the college, and I appreciate the fact that he's got some of the young men that can follow him when he's gone. Amen. And do a good job. One of them graduated recently, called back. He went to be with the church, and he called back and told Brother Cruz, you know what you taught us in class? He said, it happened to me. I've just been here a little while, and they've already made me lead singing two times. So it will happen, amen. Leah was singing something about the crucifixion. Let's read just a little bit about it here. In Luke chapter 23, we'll start reading in verse 32. And read down maybe to about verse 45 or 6 for the sake of time. Talk to you a little bit on the morning, or this morning, on this thing of making the right choice. That's really what she was saying. We can choose to identify with Christ or not. Amen. And making the right choice is pretty important. An old young man got a job working for the farmer. Back then, a flashlight was a precious thing, and the old farmer had got him one. Said, you ever seen them long ones? I remember my uncle had them. Had new batteries in it. And the farmhand said, let me borrow your flashlight tonight. He said, what for? He said, well, the truth is, I was going to walk down the lane to the next farm and said, you know, said I was going to take the girl down at the next farm. We were going to go walking. And the guy said, well, when I used to date my wife, I didn't have a flashlight. I had a lantern. And the young man said, yeah, but look what you got. Sometimes it's best to see better. Amen. All right. That's the morphine. Now let's get to the operation. Begin with me here in verse 32. And there were also two malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth and unto the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now, you know, The crucifixion story, we should never get too far away from it. Crucifixion was supposed to be someone that died that way was supposed to be under the curse. The Bible speaks of a cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And crucifixion, at the time the psalmist and others referred to it, was not practiced, was not heard of until the Roman government came in power. And then that was the main way that the Roman government killed those that were criminals. It was a terrible death, a suffering death, a long drawn out thing. Basically, the person died, excuse me, of loss of blood and suffocation, because they had this thing that when they'd hung there a while, and late in the day, and especially the soldiers and others wanting to get off duty, they'd come by and break the legs of those that were crucified. They'd strike them on the legs and break them. Now, what was the point? Well, it was a shock to the body, but more than that, a body that was being crucified by just natural reaction, by reflex, would push itself up, and then it would sag down. The hands would be out, and between the arms and the legs, push back up to get a breath, push back up to get a breath. But when the legs were broken, they could not push back up anymore. I hope I can clear up here. And so it was a horrible way, to die. But I look at it here, and this is a Roman government. Now, we, you know, people say, who killed Jesus? Well, Rome did. Yes, they gave the authority. The religious Jews did. Yes, they cried out, crucify him, away with him. We'll not have this man reign over us. But quite frankly, sin crucified the Lord. Amen. Therefore, we all have a big part in what happened. The problem of sin. Look around today, and we look at the news today and all that's going on in the Middle East and the war and the horror of seeing babies and children killed. Do you understand if you could put one word that's behind all of it, it'd have to be the word sin. Death comes by sin, the scripture says. And the truth of the matter is that man is a sinner. Now, while we might see some that like the Hamas and that crowd over there, they have a satanic hatred, an unbelievable, hard to explain hatred. It's a supernatural hatred that they have for the Jew. And by the way, if you check their history, they haven't only killed Jews, they kill each other. And the only reason, humanly speaking, through the years that they haven't been able to annihilate the Jew is they couldn't stop fighting each other long enough. Now, that's been a whole big part of it. And it's a joke to me to see our leaders talk about a ceasefire. All that did was give them time to get a drink of water and load the gun again. They meant nothing. In fact, what we need to understand, that comes out of their so-called holy book. Lying is part of their tactics to win. They're allowed that in their so-called false holy book. To lie, to deceive, to do all of that. And part of what they're doing now, and you'll catch this in the news every now and then, while they're killing Christians by the thousands over in several parts of the world right now, one of the ways they have brought back in killing is crucifixion. Yes, sir. They chop off heads. That's a big deal. Been doing that. But now they're more and more, they're taking Christians out and crucifying them. It's a mockery, if you please, of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is said that Rome was still crucifying after they crucified Christ. It is said that the Apostle Peter, in his old age, when they came and took him, and he went to his martyrdom, that he requested, and we don't know this for sure, but that he requested, if you're going to crucify me, don't crucify me as you did my Lord, but crucify me upside down. And it's supposed to be, history tells us that that's what happened. Crucifixion was an awful thing. And the fact that the world today is in trouble that it is because of man's fallen nature. Can you imagine? And yet, if you watched, you saw it. When we had the planes flying to the towers and they came down, do you understand there was rejoicing in the streets that the big Satan had been wounded. Do you know that rejoicing was not only in the Middle East? It was in American cities like Detroit. And once the cameraman flashed on it a little bit, they hit it. And then President Bush, and he looks pretty good now, but I certainly disagreed with him then when he went in right after 9/11 and said that Islam is a peaceful religion. That is the most ridiculous thing that you could possibly imagine, but that's what happened. We can't seem to wake up that their religion is killing. Their religion is to kill everybody until there's no other, quote, religion left on the earth but them. And you and I are infidels, and we are targeted. And if they could get through with Israel, they would come after us. I wish our leadership could understand that. But as we look around, we say, well, why war? Why is man warlike? Why does he hate like he does? The truth is, he's depraved. He's a sinner. And while there's some good in the worst and some bad in the best, we all still have a sin nature. And we have to be on guard against it. What is sin? Now somebody says, well, sin is drinking. Sin is cursing. Sin is adultery. Yeah, that is sins. But sin itself, identified by the Bible in 1 John 3:4, says that sin is the transgression of God's law. So whatever breaks God's law is sin. And even evil thought can become sin. We understand that, by the way, before sin breaks out in the open, it is a thought. And the evil comes from within, the scripture tells us, of course. But now, all of us have a relationship to sin. And in the portion I read to you here, we're going to identify what the relationship of every one of us is. You see, on that scene that day, that scene of crucifixion, we can look here and we can find ourselves somewhere in it. So what do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about we can look in it and see ourselves pictured. Sin, now most Americans today are becoming more and more afraid of their government, but you know, without government, we'd be in worse shape because of man's nature, because he's a sinner. I've seen our government have better days. I've seen when I think it was more right than it is now by far. But government has to be there as a rod, so to speak, to keep man's real nature, be the strongest over the weakest, be the one that could steal and take. You see, it'd be the law of the jungle. And so we need government, and God tells us that. And yet, God wants government to lead according to his laws. And when it don't, governments, as I was teaching in Sunday school this morning, also will be judged. And also will have to answer to God. Our government today is doing some of the stupidest things. I can't even imagine what else each week they're going to come up with. How many of you saw the other morning? I'll probably mention this two or three times because it really got through to me. Did you see the woman on TV where the, so to speak, the U-Haul truck, not the wrecker truck, whatever it's called, or the tow truck, come backing up her driveway and hooked on to her Land Rover and loaded it up and left. The government agents came out, loaded up her 1985 Land Rover. It looked pretty good. She was using it. She'd spent some money on it. She had another car also. And she went out and said to him, how can you take my car? I don't owe any payments on it. I have a clear title to it. How can you take my car? It's my property. And they said, well, we don't really understand ourselves. We've picked up about 40. And we think it has something to do with the Clean Air Act. That's how much I saw on TV. All right, somebody give me a witness. Did you see it? All right, Marvin. All right, Ruth. I just want to make sure I'm not getting delusional in my old age here, delusional or whatever. I saw that. It just shocked me. I couldn't hardly relate to that. And by the way, when you get to picking up old cars, you're getting close to my heart, brother. I mean, I understand these guys getting their guns when they come around to confiscate them and destroy the Second Amendment, but all of a sudden, have they never heard of classic cars?